Do you guys play Wordle?
Yeah,
we play Wordle.
I got today's Wordle in two guesses.
That's bullshit. You know, that's bullshit. I think we always text each other our results every morning because, like, I'm always at work whenever I do it. Let's see what we got here.
I got, like, my high school friend group, and I just start, like, texting about it in the chat.
Yeah, it took me all six guesses because I had the A and the Y, and I was just randomly guessing all the consonants that could go in between.
I got it in four.
Tangy, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
Spoilers for the Wordle from, like, 6 weeks ago.
That's bullshit. You got it off of that.
It's awesome. I'm a living god. You will address me as such. Wait, guys, we can't start the podcast. Someone's knocking on my door. I gotta go take care of this.
I think you should not.
No, there's someone named Tamara that lives here. Get away. Sorry, the person was asking if somebody named Tamara lived at my house, but that's just not the case. Super weird. Anyway, should we just get to the podcast?
Do me a favor, if you hear any tapping on your window, don't fucking open the window curtain.
Oh, Bell, refill Mr. Franklin's glass, will you?
Now, when you get up there tonight, don't drink too much. Oh, don't worry, I won't.
How about a whiskey and soda?
Less soda than usual, thanks.
And this is wine. To drink.
Might improve your humor.
Aren't you drinking?
I never drink.
No, I've had a couple. Come on, I'm not drunk.
And an excellent vintage at this, too. But if you're implying that I'm tipsy, sir...
Welcome to Tipsy Terror. This is a podcast about horror movies and drinking if you want to. And my name is Harish.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Molly.
Do I ever introduce myself as Samantha?
I don't know.
You did now.
I'm Samantha. I don't know.
Hello,
Samantha. I guess so. But yeah, and today we're watching The Strangers, like we said we would.
Woo!
I think we said that we would.
We did.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Sam. Did you see the Maddie Healy post?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I almost sent it to you.
Shit's fucked. Yeah, this movie is fucked up. Well, yeah. This month we have a theme. You might be able to tell from audio quality, but we are recording remote again because everyone has COVID. Not us. Maybe.
No.
But everyone else in the world has COVID. So we don't want to risk spreading anything or getting anyone sick. So we're recording remote.
Keeping distances.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we did the Strangers. What is the theme, actually?
It's home alone.
Home.
Nice.
It's just like, house-based horror, being in your house.
Home is where the horror is.
Yeah, and this is a pretty scary house.
Well, the house isn't scary.
No.
It's what's coming from outside the house that's scary.
Yes. Which is an allegory for COVID-19.
Oh,
this
God.
Movie predicting the, this movie predicted the pandemic.
Oh my God.
I have to go.
They take the mask off and it's just like a little model of a COVID.
Yeah,
so.
One of those
masks,
spiky balls.
You guys staying separated.
Yeah. Oh, the themes are there.
Going to a wedding. Yeah.
Glenn Howerton.
Somehow that has something to do with it.
Wasn't he an anti-vaxxer?
No way.
Was he? I don't know.
He could have.
Yes.
I don't think so.
This came out a while ago. Hold on. I'm like 90%
well, there's
sure.
A lot of like random celebrities.
I think you're thinking about the character that he plays on the TV show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What character?
I'm not.
That's just him.
His character is an anti-vaxxer.
Probably.
No, back in 2015, he like tweeted to oppose this like bill, and he said, this isn't about being anti-vax, it's about the freedom to choose.
Oh.
Oh.
Glenn.
I mean, that's a different... That was 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool.
Anyway, he's in this movie.
Yeah, he's in this movie for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Two sweet, sweet minutes.
I actually like Glenn Howerton and the characters that he plays. I don't want to like paint him in a bad light.
I feel like if I met him, I would just like stare at him and not know like what he, because it's, I know that he's not his, I know that he's not Dennis Reynolds, but like he is.
I don't know that.
You know, and so like if I feel like I met him in person, I feel like I'd be meeting Dennis, even if he was like a really cool, chill guy. I'm like, no, keep him away.
Dennis scary.
But yeah. I would think I would meeting the AP bio teacher.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'd be like, hey, Mr. AP Bio, what's up?
And he wouldn't teach you anything.
Yeah.
Is that the plot? I don't know. Never seen it.
I don't know either. Never seen it.
Wait, really?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah. It's like fine.
I thought he's like School of Rock, but for AP Bio.
Isn't he like a bad teacher? Like a bad teacher. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He don't care. Anyway, The Strangers. It's a movie about a home invasion. Should we just get into it? Do we have a Letterboxd segment?
Well, I wanted to point out this was Molly's first time seeing this movie.
Oh yeah.
Harish, you've seen it, right?
Yes. I've seen it I think more than once.
I've definitely seen it. Letterboxd segment. I've seen it like 4 or 5 times. I love this movie.
Directed by some guy.
He's special. Like he's not some guy. Molly, what were your like initial thoughts having this been your first time?
I do remember. I've seen the James A. Janisse kill count for this video.
Okay.
I didn't remember all of it, or like most of it. I knew the plot was that people in masks do a home invasion. I didn't know anything about the characters. And I didn't know that it was like they just did it for shits. Yeah. So that was cool. I just knew it was a home invasion movie.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Part of the appeal of this movie to me is like home invasions are really the only thing that like genuinely scare me in terms of like scary movies. But it's the fact that it's random. Because it's like, okay, like if it's random, what are the chances it would be me? But it's like, but if it was me, that would be fucked up.
Yeah. You
know? Like, that's just fucked up.
Yeah. So, it's written and directed by someone named Brian Bertino. And he wrote it because when he was a kid, he lived in a house on a street in the middle of nowhere. And one night, this is what he says. One night while our parents were out, someone knocked on the front door and my sister answered it. At the door were some people asking for somebody who didn't live there. We later found out that these people were knocking on doors in the area, and if no one was home, breaking into the houses.
Wow. And it's the opposite. They want you to not be home.
Yeah. He was also inspired by like the Manson family murders. And there's also people who speculate that it's inspired by some unsolved murders that happened in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
The Keddy Cabin murders of 1981.
I think the first time I watched this movie, I lived in a house. I wouldn't say it was in the middle of nowhere, but like I didn't have any neighbors. Like I would have to run like a pretty far distance to get to like the nearest person because like around me was just like fields of cattle.
Yeah.
And yeah.
No, you can finish your story. I'm raising my hand so I don't forget.
Okay.
But I have a Stranger Danger story.
Okay.
Ooh.
But like I was scared because the house that I like was in, it was like a big shared house. There was like a lot of family in it. But like if you were ever there alone, it was large and empty and very scary. And there were like all these, like the house was like almost in segments too. So like I would, if I was ever home alone, I would like cut off part of the house and like not try to like pretend it wasn't there. But like that's when I lived there, was the first time I watched this movie and it scared the fuck out of me. Like I hated being alone after that. Cause also we had a bunch of windows cause it was the middle of nowhere and like half the windows didn't have curtains on them. Ugh. Go ahead, Mom.
Yeah.
So when I was in middle school, I got off the bus at my bus stop and it was like three kids got off at my stop. and I was the one farthest from the stop, so we would kind of get off like in succession. And like my one friend, like his house was like right on the corner, and so my other friend and I were like making our way down, and this car pulls up and this guy gets out and he's like, excuse me, you dropped your necklace. And I was like, and I wasn't wearing a necklace that day. So I was like, oh, no, I wasn't. He was like, you did. And I was like, we got to go by. And so we were running, like me and my friend started booking it. And we see, so there's this part on the street where like the car drives off, but there's this part in the street and he starts to like loop back around. So we book it to my friend's house because, like, it looks like he's about to start turning around and, like, coming to get us. And we get in his mom's home, and we tell his mom all this stuff. And then I think I stayed there until my parents, like, came to get me or whatever, just because it was, like, spooky and scary.
Yeah.
But they, like, let the cops know that, like, some guy had approached us kids.
Wow.
They put it on, like, the local news.
Oh, my God.
About, like, kids getting approached. And then, apparently the next, so this is, I'm gonna tell the story how it happened, and then this other
next, you're cutting on, you're out cutting again out. Okay,
you're good,
yeah,
go ahead,
you're back. All right.
The girl, this girl in elementary school said that some guy had approached her too.
Oh, shit.
But then like, so all this stuff got sent out around the neighborhood. So what happened was this guy, like the guy was a parent of a kid in the neighborhood. And he, like, went to the elementary school, and he's like, listen, like, this thing happened last night. Like, she really did drop something. I get now why that's super creepy, but I never talked to that second girl. This second girl saw, like, an email that my mom had sent out and, like, made up this story about some guy, like, being creepy with her. But the point is, I got stranger danger checked, and it was on the news.
Wow.
That's literally how the witch trial started.
The best part is, though, like, people were asking me questions about it, and I didn't remember anything, but my friend was like, yes, it was a 2005 green Subaru Outback, and he was about, like, 6 foot tall with brown hair, and I was like, oh my god. I was like, I don't know. I didn't know anything.
That is pretty creepy.
That's scary, though.
Yeah.
I know, and I was like, well, I was like 12, maybe, like, shit's fucked. Of course I was gonna be scared.
Yeah.
But that guy, if you're listening to this episode, I'm sorry, but don't do that.
Yeah, don't approach children.
Yeah.
And it turns out I had dropped my bracelet, so.
That's on him for not knowing what jewelry is.
I know. I ended up pulling some Letterboxd reviews in the 2 seconds between I said I didn't have any. I'm
trying to think and if I've now, had any, like, weird home invasion-y incidents, but
no, I don't think so. I mean, like, when I was a kid, like, our house got broken into and, like, they stole some stuff, but other than that, like, we weren't there.
Yeah.
And we came home and our, like, back door was all, like, smashed in and cut, and yeah, but, like,
that's scary.
They had, like, rifled through, like, my parents' whole drawers were all, like, torn out, and, like, they just, like, rifled through all the clothes looking for, like, jewelry.
About that last time we were with them.
Yeah. My mom, they stole some jewelry. I don't know if we ever got it back. They, like, found someone. I guess the cops, like, found someone who was doing robberies in the area, but none of my parents' stuff got, returned. I don't know.
It was all in the fireplace, burnt up like the cell phone.
Yep. Yep.
I accidentally broke into someone's home once.
Yeah, you sure did.
Yeah.
I was somebody's the stranger. Except I wasn't wearing a mask and I was blackout drunk.
I'm imagining a scene where, like, somebody's, like, in their apartment kitchen and you just walk through the doorway hammered. Just, like, exactly like that guy does, though. Just, like, standing there.
No, I got reverse the stranger because nobody was home.
Oh, that would be so fucking funny.
Sometimes I randomly... I remembered this, like, that I did that literally this week. So it was on the forefront of my mind. Now.
Wow.
My random B&E. So crazy.
So should we do the Letterboxd segment?
Yeah, we can. The car's Letterboxd reviews. Letterboxd is a where people can review films and write reviews for them. All right, starting off strong. Everything that happens in this film is absolute karma for proposing at somebody else's wedding.
Yeah.
You said that like
4 stars.
The very beginning. 4 stars.
3 stars.
Oof.
I would simply pretend I was not home.
3 stars.
3 stars.
2 stars.
Wow.
IDK, I think I could survive.
2 stars.
3 stars.
1.5 stars.
Wow. Lots of bad ratings on this one.
Is bullshit.
Has sort of an improv everywhere feel.
One and a half.
2.5.
3.5. This person likes improv, I guess.
Improv everywhere.
Felt like I could relate to Liv Tyler in this because I would probably cry if someone came into my house and started playing music I didn't like.
3.5.
4.
3 stars. Your day be sort of normal, then boom, shot in the face by your friend.
3 stars.
2.
3 stars, I think. I deleted it. I forgot.
Oh, I think that's the first one, if I get that one right.
Something tells me she didn't find Tamara.
4.
3.
2.5. Not even I would make so many idiotic decisions one after another, but go off, I guess.
2.
1.
2.5.
Oh, wow.
All right. Marry, fuck, kill, doll face, man in the mask, pinup girl.
2.5.
3.
3.5. I'm used to seeing Glenn Howerton playing the sociopath, but somehow it's more upsetting to see him play just a regular dude.
True.
3.5.
2.5.
No.
Oh. Meant to watch Stranger Things. Fuck.
1.5.
2.
2 stars. That's all I got. Great job, everyone.
I won.
Wow.
I am surprised by the ratings.
Yeah.
I thought that this was a really popular, well-liked film.
Yeah.
I want to say, on the record, I didn't do what I usually do and look for ratings of every caliber. I just looked at like the top for many that were one sentence.
Yeah, well, I like went on there to see if I've logged this before because I couldn't remember the last time I watched it. And like I got a glance at the ratings and like I think the average is like 3 stars.
Huh.
And like a lot of the top ones are 2-star reviews. It's kind of insane.
That is pretty weird. I would not expect this to have like terrible reviews.
Because I also feel like this movie, like most people know it.
Yeah. Right?
Like even if you haven't seen it, like you know it. It's popular.
Yeah.
And I think it was like the shit back in the day. What year is this? 2005? No, that feels early.
It's 2008.
8. Yeah, that's more like it.
Yeah, so should we get into it?
Yeah. It's got a pretty simple plot. Basically, the movie starts off... Well, it starts off with this, like, stupid montage thing, and then also, like, some text that tells you that they were just at a wedding.
Yeah, it's, like, based on a true story.
Inspired by true events.
Yeah.
Which the true events were apparently the director's life.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the classic fake... inspired by a true story. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like it gives you some backstory, and then like the opening scene is actually the ending of the movie where it's like these kids finding the bodies and someone's calling 911.
911.
Yeah, it's some sort of 911 call. And so then we cut to the night before this couple is coming home from a wedding.
And they are not happy.
They're not having a good time. They're clearly, like, just, I don't know, like...
Tense.
Yeah, not really talking to each other and kind of awkward. So something went wrong. We eventually find out that they were just at a wedding and the dude proposed and she turned him down.
Which... Who proposes at a wedding, you fucking jackass?
Yeah, really stupid. So
I hope the like people getting married kick their asses. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
You can't do that.
Well, he didn't do it in front of everyone. He like took her outside and then proposed like
alone.
You still can't do that at somebody else's wedding.
Yeah. I mean,
I have a hard opinion about that.
But so they're driving home and it's really tense, but they get back to the house and the house is like romantically decorated. There's like rose petals and like candles and stuff. And she's like, oh my God, like when did you do this? And he's like, when you were out with the girls, Mike came over, we set it all up.
Yeah.
And so they kind of like talk about it a little bit and they're really upset. And then he dramatically eats some ice cream. And then
she takes a bath.
Yeah.
But eventually like they talk about it and they're doing okay. And then they like start to like kiss and they like get intimate and he like lifts her and puts her on a counter. And then they like they're about to have sex basically when...
There's a knock on the door. And it's okay. So I think that I'll give credit because I just learned that like sound mixing when you're watching stuff on the TV is not as like movies are apparently way better mixed for theaters. And there's some fucked up thing with translating it to TV. So I don't want to blame them. But the mixing on this movie is so bad. Like they talk so quiet and then those knocks come in and like obviously you want the knock to be loud, but Jesus Christ, they're so loud.
Yeah,
and this one scares the shit out of you because like you do not expect it coming.
Great. It's really great.
So they go and like open the door and it's some lady and she asks
if you can't see her face, you just see a little bit of blonde hair and like a shadow.
He like tries to turn on the porch light, but apparently it's gone out. And she asks, is Tamara here? And they're like, no, no one named Tamara lives here. And she's like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, no, Tamara doesn't live here. She's like, okay, see you later. And leaves.
So they're creeped out.
Yeah, they're creeped out, and it kind of ruined the mood, and they don't have any... They have one cigarette left.
Yeah, they're going to go to bed, but they mentioned getting cigarette or needing cigarettes, and she tries to play it off, and he's like, no, I'm going to go grab you some.
He's like, I'm going to do it, because I'm a caring man, even though you turned me down. I'm going to go get those cigarettes for you, and so he...
And she appreciates it. It's not like a tense thing. She actually really appreciates it.
He makes a fire for her and then like walks outside and takes a big swig from a wine bottle before throwing it out and driving off.
Because he wants to take a drive anyways to like clear his head and stuff.
Yeah. And so while he's gone, she's just chilling, puts on a record, and
the
just...
scariest part of the movie begins.
Yeah.
God. Oh, it's so good.
She like she's just like, I don't know, thinking, like staring into space.
Literally, she's just sitting there.
And then she like
more knocking happens.
The banging, yeah. So someone bangs on the door again and she goes, but she doesn't open it. She's just behind the door and it's the same. There's a feminine voice calls out and says, is Tamara there? And they're like, she's like, oh, we already told you, go away. Tamara doesn't live here. But like they don't go away. They keep banging, I think.
Yeah.
And then she like, leaves and goes and the like chimney is blocked or something, because now the smoke from the fire is coming into the room, and then the smoke alarm starts going off, and she like grabs a chair to go get the smoke alarm, but like it's too high for her, and she like tries to grab it, and it falls.
She wiggles it out, so it falls on the ground with the backside facing up.
Yeah,
that's key.
Yeah.
So then she gets kind of thoroughly creeped out, so she goes and finds her phone, right?
Yeah, she gets her phone, but it has a low battery, so she goes to plug it in, and then she gets on the landline and calls her boyfriend, James. And
she's
this,
like, what the fuck?
The girl is played by, what's her name? Liv Tyler, yeah. And the boyfriend...
Scott Speedman.
Who we don't... Who's in some other
if
stuff.
If you watch You,
like,
he was in the newest season.
Yeah. But yeah, so she calls him and she's like, oh, they're back.
Oh, we lost Molly. Out there.
Yeah. So, she's like, he's, the lady came back asking about Tamara. She's scared. So she asked
him to come home.
And stay on the line with her. But then the phone, like, the call gets cut, and she,
she's on the phone with him, she goes to the back and changes out of her dress from the wedding and into like jeans and a flannel.
Yeah, and she like goes to the kitchen and gets some water, and then in the background
she's just like standing there thinking, and you've got this like, it's the famous shot. It's like on the poster. Everyone thinks about, even if you haven't seen the movie, like you've seen this image. She's like standing in the foreground in the kitchen, and it's like a big wide shot. And then like just like behind her and like through the living room, there's like an archway. And you just see this guy in like the creepy white sack mask with a smile on it, just slowly walk into that door frame and stand there, and he's like so quiet.
Oh no,
you don't hear a fucking thing, and he just like stands there and watches her.
It's better than any jump scare. It's so genuinely creepy.
Yeah, he's just in the background, and it's just like a guy with like a mask,
and he's wearing a suit.
Oh, is he wearing a suit?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
I mean, it's like a crump, like a frumpy old one. But yeah, he's like wearing a suit.
Yeah. And it's just like a basically like a bag over his head.
It's very like Friday the 13th Part 2.
Yeah.
Jason's look in that nature. But I mean, if you've seen if you've seen any imagery from this movie, it's going to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he just stands there and he watches her for a while, and he kind of like walks through the like in the corner of the living room a bit, but she doesn't notice him at all.
Right. And it like cuts to a different angle, and then it cuts back and he's gone. And the banging starts again. And so she goes back to the other room and she notices that the smoke alarm is on the chair that she was standing
on. Top side up on the chair.
Yeah.
And then she immediately is like, no. Like, she's like, wait a minute. Like, no.
And she goes to get her phone and it's gone.
It's, the charger's empty.
And then, like, she was playing a record, I think. It starts, like, skipping.
She bumps into it, I think, because the banging starts and it scares her.
And she like goes up to the curtain and opens it, and there's,
so she gets a kitchen knife,
mm-hmm.
and she like walks up to the curtain with the knife and like tries to peek through, and then like pulls back,
mm-hmm.
And we don't see anything. And so then she like walks up and just rips the curtain open, which, I'm sorry, I love this movie, but like, she is so goddamn stupid.
Yeah.
In no situation, if I'm frightened like that and people are banging on my door, would I ever rip my fucking curtains open?
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No.
Absolutely not.
And because you know why? Who's standing on the other side of the goddamn window? The guy with the sack on his head.
Sack, yeah.
And it's scary as shit.
Yep.
I don't trust that man.
No. So, of course, she freaks out and screams and, like, runs away.
Yeah, and then she runs to the front door, and someone unlocks the door from the outside and opens the door. And she like goes up to it and like closes it, but she also like peeks through.
She gets a little curious.
And it's someone wearing like a blonde-haired girl.
There's two women. There's their nickname Dollface, which is the blonde girl, and then the other is Pinup Girl.
Pinup Girl has dark hair.
Yes, the dark hair. So blonde-haired girl.
Mask also has dark hair.
Yeah. So Dollface is like her mask like jumps into the screen and it's scary.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. Like, it does such a good mix of like slow, unsettling horror and jump scare.
Yeah.
It's like it never feels like excessive too, like for the world of the movie, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I agree.
At this point she runs to the bedroom, I believe.
Yeah, in the bedroom. And then the bang continues. But eventually it stops.
It gets like from all around, like very intense, very scary. Like she has a lamp on in there and the banging starts at the window behind her. So she like breaks the lamp to turn it off and is like desperately like praying, like yelling and stuff that she wants it to stop.
And then Jamie shows up. James, her boyfriend, just appears and he's like, "Hey, I'm here. What the fuck is wrong with that?"
There's like a slow build up though, because like you hear the door open and you hear him walking and it's like, who's it gonna be?
Yeah.
And then it's him and he's like, dude, what the fuck?
And he tries to calm her down. She like tells him all that's happened and
he doesn't believe her. Yeah. Which is fucked up because he was there when that girl was there.
Right. He doesn't believe her. He's like, nobody's come into the house. Her phone is just in the fireplace.
But they don't notice that.
Yeah.
So then they go around the house because he's like, it's fine, I'm here, like I'll prove to you nobody's in here, even though she's like, I saw people.
They go like, I think the garage or something.
They go all around and they end up in the garage.
And then she like looks out the window and there's just the girl standing
Dollface
in the field, just like staring at the house, and he's like, they must want something, what do they want? And then he realizes he left his phone in his car. So of course he's got to go get his phone. So he goes outside,
begs him not to, cause she's like, no, like this is fucked up. Like something is wrong here. They are bad. Like, do not risk it. Don't go out there. And he's like,
I don't care. So he goes out and his windshield is all smashed up.
The car is smashed up. Tires are slashed. It's all fucked up.
Yeah. And he looks for his phone. He like gets in the car and looks for his phone. And he's like looking under the dashboard. And then he gets like touched in the back of his neck.
And, like a woman's hand reaches like into frame and just like very gently taps his neck.
Taps his neck and then disappears. And he like freaks out and like looks around and there's nobody there. And then he gets out of the car and the two women are just like around, just like near him.
Yeah.
But like far enough away that like they're not like immediately next to him.
They're not making moves either. They're just kind of like chilling.
They're just like standing and watching him and he's like creeped out.
As one should be.
And then they disappear. Like he looks away and they disappear. So he goes back inside and then there's like a little jump scare because
she grabs him.
Yeah. Liv Tyler grabs him. And then they find a gun. It's his dad's summer home. And they find a gun and there's like a little thing about like he lied about like going hunting with his dad or something.
So he doesn't know how to use the gun properly.
Yeah.
So then they have to go into the closet to find bullets.
They get some bullets and then at this point they go into the bedroom and someone on the windows has written hello a bunch of
in
times
blood.
I thought
it's
it was
the
lipstick.
Guy from Hello Peril.
Oh, it's lipstick, never mind.
Yeah. The guy from what?
Hello Peril.
hello.
Yeah, the banging starts again, and they go outside and go to the front door, and someone is trying to axe through the front door. So they, like, grab the piano and push it against the door. to block it. And then, like, he finally gets the gun working and shoots at the door.
So making the hole bigger.
Yeah.
For the guy to mess around with.
Yeah. But then they, like, the... does a record... They go and hide, and then a record starts playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically hinting that somebody's in the house.
And this is when James's best friend Mike shows up.
And who is it? Glenn Howerton.
Let's fucking go.
It took everything...
Absolutely incredible.
It took everything for me not to, when this movie starts, say, you know Glenn Howerton's in this? Because I was like, no, I want it to be a surprise.
Yeah.
I didn't know this, and I'm so, so glad you didn't tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. you don't see his face at first, but then as soon as he talks on the phone, you recognize him. But he, Mike... is supposed to take the girl, whatever her name is. What's her name?
Catherine or something like that?
I don't know. Yeah. He's supposed to take her home in the morning because, I don't know, I guess they're breaking up. Kristen. And they were about to go on a road trip, but they're not doing that because she didn't accept his proposal. So, yeah. So, Mike is supposed to come in the morning, but he's here early because he's there to support his friend.
They're besties.
And he just like stops in the driveway and his windshield immediately gets somebody like a stone thrown through it.
And he's on the phone. So he's like, fuck. And then like he hangs up and he gets out of the car and he's like, what the hell? And then he notices that, oh shit. Whenever they tried to make an escape before this happens, because so before the axe through the door thing happens, at some point they run to the car and try to like roll the car out. And then those people rammed the truck.
Oh. So
a truck shows up behind them and the lights are on and they are like, what the fuck? And so they like turn and look and then the lights turn off and you see the pinup girl and baby doll or doll face or whatever in the car. And then they turn the car on and they're like revving it and they're like, so the couple is like, oh, we got to get out of the car. Like, let's go back into the house. And they turn around and the guy with the mask is like standing in front of the car.
Yeah.
And so then the two girls ram the truck into the car a couple times and like really beat it up. And then finally the couple gets out of the car and like sprints to the house. And then that's like when the axe thing happens. So anyways, when Mike gets there, he sees the truck sitting there fucked up, the car fucked up, like all the evidence of all that happening. And then he's immediately like, oh shit, something's wrong.
And then he walks into the house and like there's broken glass everywhere. Like the doorway is like axed through. And he's like slowly walks into the back where the two are hiding. And there's one of those shots where the guy in the mask is right behind him.
And he's holding an axe.
You're just, like terrified watching,
for Mike.
Just like slowly following and just watching Mike. He doesn't do anything. And Mike walks up and he walks
in the
back.
Here's why Mike is the dumbest person alive. Because apparently they live in the South, but he's never heard of the Stand Your Ground law.
No.
And he doesn't, like, announce himself as loudly or as frequently as he should.
Yeah.
He walks in and he's like, hello, boom, immediately shot.
Let me ask you a question. Have I ever come into your home unannounced?
No.
No, yeah.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it was, like, the 2000s. I mean, where, like, I'm from... I just would walk into. Like,
I would definitely in that situation. I would walk into the house. I would probably be announcing myself a bunch though.
Yeah, when I walk in, I would be like, so "Hey, it's me." That. But like, I just would let myself into any friend or friendly's house like at any time.
Yeah,
never knocked. Because also where I'm from, people didn't lock their doors until recently.
but yeah, so Mike's dead, and James is like, "Oh, wait." Wait, he wasn't wearing a mask. And he goes and checks.
So he thinks he shot the mask guy, yeah.
Yep, it's his friend, and he's really sad.
He's fucked up.
Kristen's really sad, and she's like, tell me what happened. And he's like, yeah, I fucking shot Mike. Whatever. And then he's like, okay, I have an idea. I'm going to go to the barn because there's a radio there and I'm going to call for help. You just hide and I'm taking the gun. And she's like, no, we shouldn't split up. But he's like, nope, I'm doing it. See ya. And so he runs through the Jeep and tries to hotwire that, but it doesn't work. So he just runs into the woods. She's just chilling at home. But, you know, like, I think she also, like, we get another scene of her getting followed by one of these random people behind her, yeah. And she doesn't notice. But eventually she, like, gets, she decides to, like, try to leave the house and go to the barn. And she escapes and she runs and immediately trips.
And falls into, like, it's like a drop-off little ditch.
Yeah,
thing.
There's, like, a ditch. Yeah. And she, like, crawls. She starts crawling.
She hurts her leg.
Yeah, she hurts her leg and she starts crawling. And, of course, the pinup girl is right behind her holding an axe, just calmly walking.
She walks out of the barn and she's just kind of, like, watching.
Yeah, but she doesn't see. Kristen doesn't see. So she crawls to the barn, and, like, looks around very quietly and eventually finds the radio and tries to get it to work, but can't figure out until, like, and then she hears more banging.
Yeah.
So she freaks out, but, like, she starts to get a signal from the radio. And then Dollface smashes the radio from a window outside. So that's done. So
with an axe.
Yeah. With an axe. So she almost got help, but of course she didn't.
So she goes crawling again.
Crawling, notices that there's a car burning in the garage. And she crawls back to the house and like tries to hide, and she hears someone playing the piano, and then she like sees the masked guy like right behind her just like looking around.
He like happens to look into the other hallway and goes up that way, so she like slowly backs into, there's a pantry in the kitchen. And it's like one of those classic horror movie doors that you never see in actual houses, where it's got the little slits. Shutters.
Yeah.
And you can see through them from inside, but you can't really see into them. And so she backs into that pantry and like just we watch with her as the guy slowly like walks up the hallway. Then he walks back into the kitchen and he's very slow. At one point, he like looks directly at the closet and it sends chills through my body. It's so scary to me. And then he like sits, he just sits at the table for a minute. He just like chills.
Yeah.
And then he decides to get up and leave. And so you're like, oof, calm breath. Until Dollface,
she like
pops up.
Yeah, she's just looking, watching him walk away, looking around for more, and then Dollface just pops up right in front of the pantry that she's in. So she screams, like fights Dollface and runs, and they like the girl, Dollface, goes to like the kitchen where the Bluebell ice cream is, and there's a knife there.
Yeah.
And Kristen's like, why are you doing this to us? But she doesn't answer. And then they have like,
she tells her she's going to die tonight, though.
Yeah. They both grab knives. Kristen tries to escape, but then like, someone throws Jamie through a window, or James through a window, and he like comes in, he tells her to run, and she tries to run. She like runs to their bedroom, and tries to escape through the windows, but those are locked, and she starts banging on the windows. But then like she hears like James yelling, and then everything stops. So she goes outside and looks around, and then immediately gets like,
he body slams her right into the wall, like knocks
like
her
a football tackle. Awesome. Just throws her into the wall and she gets knocked out.
So he starts dragging her, and she's like, she starts to kind of become like conscious, and so she's like trying to grab onto the wall and stuff like that, and it's like she's trying so hard, like mm-hmm. you can tell she's so desperate but like just can't do anything.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point she like turns over and like claws the floor.
Yeah.
And then she goes out of frame and it goes black.
Yeah. And then it cuts to the next morning. She's all tied up
in her dress,
with a ring on her, and her boyfriend is right next to her. And they're just in chairs, and the three strangers are there. And she's like, "Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this to us?"
And then finally Dollface just says, "Because you were home."
Yeah.
And that is so scary.
Yeah.
It's so fucked up and sad. Like, they don't know these people. I think that's why I like this movie, is because it's like, it's so sad. It's yeah. so fucking upsetting. They did nothing to deserve this. They were already having a bad night.
Yeah.
And so then there's like a lot of like desperate begging, and the masked people take off their masks, but like as a viewer, you don't get to see their faces. And mm-hmm. they pick up knives and then like one at a time slowly stab each of them, just like a yeah. couple of slow drives into like the stomach and chest. So each of them get like multiple stabs to yeah. death, basically. And like Scott and Kristen like make up in those moments as they're dying. Like they're like, "I still love you," yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And then I think it fades to black again or something.
Yeah. And then, like, there's a small scene where there's these two kids, like, Christian kids, like, handing out flyers on their bikes. And the strangers, like, drive past them and stop and take one of their, like, pamphlets and leave. And then the kids, like, find the house and they walk in and, like, are looking around. And then the one kid, like, walks up to Kristen, who's, like, lying there. And she like wakes up and screams,
and yeah, that's the
one final jump scare.
Yeah. Gotta squeeze that one in.
Silly fuck.
Yep. Pretty creepy movie.
Literally sends chills.
Did we wanna, was there anything else about this before we go into our segments?
I mean, just in general, I don't understand why I see... you know what? You remember when we did Your Next and we were all, like, baffled as to, like, why people don't like the movie?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not expecting y'all to agree with me 100% on this or anything, but, like, same thing here. And, I mean, they're kind of similar concepts. Maybe people just in general don't like home invasion stuff, but
yeah.
I'm so shocked that this is, like, low rating. Like, I don't expect people to think this is a 5-star movie or anything, but, like... I think some people might be bored by it because it is a bit of a slow burn.
And it's kind of like a lot of banging.
But I like that. That's what scares me.
Yeah.
So like that works for me. It's because it's slow, like that feeling of dread. Like this is one of the few movies to me that actually makes me feel that sense of like impending doom, basically. Yeah. Like there's no escape. You're fucked. Because everything else to me is mostly silly. So, like, if it wasn't this slow, which is why, if you've seen the sequel to this, The Strangers Pray at Night, that movie's fun, but it does not work in, like, a similar sense to this.
Yeah,
like, that movie, they are completely different characters. They're, like, running around the place, making a big, like, they're not taking their time. They're just trying to, like, slice and dice in that movie. And that's why it doesn't work for me. So, like, I think the slowness of this is really, really good. And I feel like that's where people's criticism probably goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I really like this movie. I think, like, a lot of the creepiness, like, it's really tense the whole time. And it does a lot of those, like, the killers are definitely just like playing with their food, basically.
Yeah.
There's so many times where they could just easily kill them, but they're just like watching them and letting them like panic and stuff. So yeah, I really like that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think slow horror is a bit underrated. And I think this movie does it really, really well. I'm definitely, it's going to be one of those, I might not remember it immediately all the time when I think of horror movies, but I'm going to remember it every time I'm home by myself, which is, I think, what matters. And I think that's super fun and scary when you can, like, are in a situation and you're like, oh my God, remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doorways are scary now.
Yeah.
Should we do segments then?
Sure. Yeah, segments.
What would you do?
What would you do if it were you in this movie? Well, I don't know, actually. On one hand, you know, if I was in an actual home invasion situation, I'm done. If I was in this specific home invasion situation, knowing what I know now, I would not have done most of those things. Mm-hmm. I also don't answer the door.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't answer the door. Don't engage.
I don't. That's a generational thing for sure. I don't answer the door. If I'm not expecting somebody, no.
I would probably answer the door.
Yeah, I know you would.
Yeah.
I'd be too scared. I'd peep. Do you know what I'd do? I'd crawl into this corner where I could get down real low and look through the farthest edge of the curtain to see who's on the porch before I open the door, because we don't have a peephole. Like, I would go through that much effort before opening the door because I don't trust who's on the other side.
I would open the door, and then the second time they came, I would open the door again and be like, yeah, you guys were just here. Sorry, she's still not here. I would just die, you know? Because, like, I mean, I don't want to... I don't immediately assume the people are out to get me.
Also, like, if I were her... I don't know. Okay, the one thing that bothers me about this movie is how fucking stupid they are. Like, they make, I'd say throughout this movie they make a bunch of bad decisions, but there's like three major bad decisions that are made. One of them is her like opening the fucking curtains and like opening the door and stuff. Like, don't do that shit. The second is after her landline cuts and she walks into the kitchen for a glass of water, pick up the goddamn cell phone and call 911 while you're doing that. You just got harassed. Call 911. Even if your battery is not going to last that long, it'll last long enough to get their attention to come out there. Mm-hmm. That's the second mistake. And then the third is using the shotgun on the door and like making it really, really big. Like, you dumbass. I mean, they obviously had other ways into the house, but like they just did a lot. And like, oh no, there's another big one. Fourth is separating at the end when he was like,
yeah,
stay here. I'm going to go stupid. Do that. Don't separate. Stay together. Like, at no point in this situation should you ever separate. If you're one person's going to run out to the car, you're both going to run out to the car. Like, don't be stupid. But yeah, if I were her at that moment when the landlines cut, I would have remembered to grab the cell phone and call 911 before doing anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, once they're in the house, like, I'm fucked. I'm just as scared and like frantic as they are, you know, but I would have at least called fucking 911.
Yeah.
I would die, though. I would probably die.
Yeah.
100%. No doubt in my mind.
I would also definitely be murdered. But I feel like also I would just have my phone with me the whole time, and like, well, it wouldn't be like out of charge immediately.
It's 2008, so your phone is not as like valuable to you.
Sure.
Especially as an adult, like if you've gone through your adult life without a phone, like a lot of them for like, hell, up until very recently, frequently turned their phone off, like didn't charge it reliably. Only charged it when they needed to. Like, a lot of adults didn't do the whole plug your cell phone in at night before going to bed. I know, like, a lot of the adults in my life didn't, at least. So, like, cell phones were just now becoming a thing, so you weren't as responsible. Like, the fact that they had it was kind of like, a lot of people in 2008 still were working on the cell phone thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I would just get murdered.
I would simply die.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can do sometimes.
What's the next thing that we do?
Acting award.
Oh, yeah. So we have three acting awards that we give out on this. We choose one. There's the Jared Padalecki Acting Award for Excellence in Acting. It's when you do a great job in a great movie. Then the second is the Michioker award where it's like, it's a mediocre movie. It's like, fine. Nothing too bad, nothing too great. And you showed up and like, you did a pretty good job in it. And like, you still stole the show. And then third is the Jensen accolade. You tried your best in a shitty movie. And that's basically like, this movie shit. But, you know, you showed up, you got your check, you gave it your all. I love this movie. There's going to be a Jared coming from me. I guess I'll give it to Liv Tyler because she carries this film. Like, this movie is about her. Like, I know it's a, like, the premise is that it's a couple being stalked, but like, it's actually about her because there's even moments where you're watching it and like, she's upset that he's kind of dismissing her and stuff. And like, every little bit of emotion that she goes through, I really feel from her. Like, I think she does a really great job.
Yeah, I would also give it to Liv Tyler. Yeah, she does the most acting in this, but also like, she is pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think she was great. Runner-up is definitely Glenn Howerton, though, for being in a role that I've never seen him in, which is regular guy.
Regular dude.
Yeah.
He truly is a regular guy in this, too. Simple as
just a normal guy.
You've been chosen as a seat.
So villain ranking?
Well, it's the start of a new year, so there's not
many. Yeah, to rank it against. Let's go.
Oh, okay. So it's number one.
Good for the strangers. Honestly, I mean, I don't know if they'd automatically get a number one, but if we had a big list of villains, they would be very high on my list either way, because they're scary. Like, they know how to stalk people, man, and like, they know how to play cat and mouse and how to like really set the mood. And like, they're fucked up, they're like insane, they're just doing it to do it to a random person just because they want to kill somebody.
Yeah, I agree, they would be pretty high on my list. Very effective. Very I don't know. They're just very calculated, I guess. Like, it does seem pretty. It's like the way they like make it seem pretty random that they're just attacking these random people, but they did have like a good plan. Like,
they might have been stalking the house, like knowing that they were there or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, they were very effective.
Yeah, so ratings? What are we going to rate this out of? Gallons of ice cream.
Stabs.
Shotguns. Masks.
Masks.
All good options. I like masks. I think that one fits.
Creepy masks. How many masks?
Doll face masks?
Doll face?
No, I think masks is good.
Masks. Okay. I could start.
Yeah.
Like I said, I love this movie. I've always loved this movie. So I give it 9 masks out of 10. I don't think it's perfect. And the only reason it doesn't get that last star for me is just because they make so many stupid decisions in this. But that being said, like, they're frantic and scared. And like, you obviously make dumb decisions when you're scared and in the moment. So yeah. Like, I'll give them a little slack, but like, think a couple of these things through, dude. I just think that it's a slow build. It scares the shit out of me. It's a concept I hate. And like, all the scares get me. Like, I think it's very effective, but it's not perfect.
I'm gonna go ahead. Oh,
you can go ahead. Oh, you're frozen. I don't know what to do.
Just give it a second.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, okay, you're back.
Okay.
Do you want to go?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to give it a 7.5. I liked it. I thought it was pretty solid. I'd watch it again if people were like, you want to watch The Strangers? Like, happily, I'd be down. But and this is a personal thing. Like, I have a hard time with slow-paced movies sometimes. Times a hard time, but
that's valid.
I think my favorite scene was the one that they used for the poster where he comes and creeps out, and just that like tension and feeling of being watched was really effective for me. Everyone's absolutely had that feeling when you're home alone and you like feel like somebody's watching you. So it played that really well.
Yeah.
I also like Glenn Howerton a lot. I thought he was funny as hell. As just a regular guy who gets shot in the face. Yeah, it was good.
I'm going to give it an 8. It's pretty good. I really like this movie. I think like it's pretty scary. But yeah, it is pretty slow paced. I really like the ending and how it's just like random and like there's no like motivation for the killers.
And like they don't come out of it alive and it's depressing.
Yeah, and it's very depressing. But yeah, 8 out of 10.
Good range. Good range of scores.
So, recommendations?
My natural inclination is to recommend the sequel, but I don't recommend the sequel. If you watch that and you haven't seen this one, you probably will have a good time. But if you've seen this one and you watch it, you will spend the entire sequel being like, they wouldn't do that. Like, it's so... Do you remember, like, we watched it together. Like, yeah. It's so irritating watching them do the antics that they do in that movie. But it's still a fun time. I thought, like, I mean, just general home invasion movies. Like, I compared it to Your Next. I said when we were watching this that, like... This movie walked so Your Next could run. Like, I didn't realize how much of this movie is in Your Next. Like, there's a mm-hmm. lot of very similar stuff that happens. Like, even like writing in blood on the windows, yeah. records, like running out to the car. Like, a lot of yeah. the stuff is a lot of the little details are in both of the movies. And then Hush, I wanted to recommend Hush,
Nice.
Which is a Mike Flanagan film about a woman.
Who's that?
You know, he's a cool guy. It's about this woman who's deaf and she's home alone in this like cabin that's not really surrounded by very many people, like neighbors and stuff. And this guy shows up and just realizes she's deaf and decides to like fuck with her. Like he's mm-hmm. already killing somebody else and he just happens upon her and he's like, oh, I'm going to fuck around and kill her too. Mm-hmm. And it's about him messing with her. So it's kind of a similar theme. And that, mm-hmm. that movie's really fun. Those were my main ones that I was thinking of.
I got a couple too. Actually, no, one of mine was Hush. I haven't actually seen it, but I was going to wreck it. It's called The Loved Ones. It's an Australian horror movie from 2000 something. This guy goes to take this girl to the prom. I forget the setup actually, but it like turns up really fucked up and it takes place in a house.
Nice.
Yeah.
The only other ones I had were, so on Wikipedia, it does say like a few years before this movie came out, there was a French movie called Them that's like basically the same concept. The only other one that I could think of was Funny Games. I've seen like part of the original Funny Games, which is Funny Games is directed by Michael Haneke. And it was originally in some other language. I think originally Austria. Yeah. So it was originally filmed in Austria. But then they did a remake in an American remake, like shot by shot. Like they even used the same house and like some of the same props. Just shot by shot remake of the movie. So I've seen like part of the original, but I never finished it. But basically it's like about these this like rich family that like moves to their vacation home, and then these two guys, like young adult men, who are like wearing tennis outfits, just decide to torture them.
Wow.
And it's like, the movie is supposed to be like, critical of this kind of movie. And like, it's like a very harsh movie and you're supposed to feel bad about watching it. Like at one point, even the one of the evil characters like talks to camera and is like, we're only doing this for like your entertainment or something like that. But basically like the point of the movie is to like criticize this kind of movie. I've only seen part of it, but I've heard it's a good movie. Both of them. But yeah, that's all I had as recommendations.
Nice. That sounds good. I'll have to check that out for sure.
You can follow me at, was there anything else before we do?
I don't have anything.
You can follow me at Not a Credit Card and Everything.
You can get me at Save Our Shaggy. That is a Scooby-Doo reference on everything.
Once again, I've diversified my portfolio. You can get me at Letterboxd at Midsummer Queen and at Twitter at Chainsaw Molly.
And you can follow the show at Tipsy Terror on Twitter, tipsyterrorpod@gmail.com. If you want to email us, tipsyterror.com, tipsyterror.rip, tipsyterror.wtf, tipsyterror.pub. And those are websites with all our links. And that's it. Bye.
Bye.